Watch my Saladin now, as he slides soundless through the grass, his wary eyes ranging the walls, the bridge above, as a fish watches for insects it can strike, and gulls who might strike back. Have you ever been in the true wilds, reader? There are some still, the deep, protected Amazon, the Arctic fringes, parts of the great African reservation, not the retrogressive towns where warlords cling to their thrones and borders, but the dark wastes where the full spectrum of wild beasts roams in herds and packs, including that rarest hunter, man. Out there, you are responsible for yourself. No cars, no cops, no restaurants, no good Samaritans. That world does not exist to help you, does not need you, does not care, and will forget you as soon as the brush has grown over your footprints. For scavengers, our cities are such wilds too. For the pigeons who feast or starve by callous chance, for rats, for strays, who have never known the ritual of feeding time. And so, for Saladin. Is this the place? These plastic sheets under the bridge? A shudder prefaced the answer. Yes, please be fast. I can already smell it. Saladin released a slow whistle as he stepped through the tattered doorway. Red spattered the walls, and garlands of red crepe paper twined around the wreckage like toilet paper after a tornado. In the center of the cave, a mannequin lay sprawled on the wreck, in a red child's wrap, with a long curly wig and paper entrails pouring out of a hole cut in her gaping gut. Her face, chest, and arms were striped with painted knife wounds, red trickling from their depths. So the paint blood coated the books and toys beneath, the plastic food and doll clothes carefully stirred to let bright gore coat every one. So that's how you kill an imaginary friend. It's not less bad because they were imaginary, Bridger cried out. They're still dead. I see that. Saladin tiptoed through the red and wreck with awe, like an entomologist through jungle, afraid of disturbing the morning's perfect spiderwebs. It's perfect. Absolutely perfect, every touch. He leaned close to a twist of plastic entrail and breathed deep, the smell of paint becoming blood salt in his mind. Who did this, Bridger? I have to find them. You must know something, a name, a description. You said they left a note that you should meet them. Where? When? I don't know. I destroyed it. You must remember. You can't go. Something horrible will happen. You're forgetting what I am, kid. If there's another liberated human out there, they're either my disciple or my rival. Either way, this is a challenge. No. I don't want Mycroft's best friend to get hurt. I'm going to track them down anyway. It's just up to you whether it's going to be fast and easy or whether I'm going to have to comb through this whole cave for hairs they left behind. Not everyone has our special shampoo. The child whimpered. Please don't. Let's just hide and be safe. Saladin took a long breath. Bridger, did you ever see the photos of the Mardi killings? Some. Did what this person did to Redder look familiar? The answer did not want to come. It looked kind of like what Mycroft did to Senator Aeneas Mardi. Exactly, Saladin confirmed. This is exactly what we did to Aeneas Mardi, cut for cut. It's a recreation. Bridger, how many imaginary friends do you have? 17? 18? This is a declaration of war. After the stabbing of Aeneas Mardi comes the sound and electricity torture of Laurel, then the guillotining, then feeding Li to the lions, then Chinese water torture on Jie, European water torture on McKenna. And by this schedule, Geneva Mardi would already have been on the cross a few days. No. No, they already have the others. Aimer and Pointer and No Stand and No Gun. No Gun's been missing for 2 days. They're not imaginary either. They're already real. Then tell me the address. Either one of us turns up there, or your friends die like the Mardi Bash. There are no other options.
Dominic Seneschal, Paris, the alley behind Chateau Darway, XX Boulevard, XXXX, 2000.
It was not Bridger's voice. It was the Major's rising from the coat at Saladin's back, as if from the speakers of Bridger's tracker. Saladin would have liked the flavor of that voice.
Who are you?
Bridger's very short-tempered guardian angel. Can you kill, Seneschal?
If I can't, no one can. I do like hunting hunters.
Don't mess around. Take them from behind. A shot to the back, an ambush, anything that will score an instant certain kill. We can't have that kind of monster around Bridger.
The hunter's eyes narrowed. I'm a torturer, not an assassin. I don't kill prey until I've given them a proper taste of death's epiphany.
This time you have to. There's too much at stake. Kill Seneschal, and I can find the hostages myself.
I'll kill them, but I'll kill them my own way. Saladin started to climb the wreckage around the paint-smeared corpse. I don't take orders from angels. Bridger whimpered as he felt Saladin's body tilt.
What are you doing?
Last rites. You don't want to leave your friend like this. Saladin gathered the paper guts and fed them gently back into the wound.
We can't burn them here, the Major warned. The smoke will draw attention.
I know. But we can do more than nothing. Laying the body gently on the floor, Saladin scraped a handful of dry earth and sprinkled it over the body, muttering a few words of Greek.
Bridger sniffed, trying not to drip again on Saladin's shoulders.
Do you think Redder will be okay now? Do you think they're off somewhere okay?
No idea.
Saladin closed the coat around him now, so his passage through the plastic sheeting seemed like nothing but a breath of wind.
If you want to pray for them, try Hermes. Gotta figure Hermes likes imaginary friends.
It isn't easy to make the Major smile. Chapter the 32nd. That There Are Two. This history has two halves, reader. Strange as it is that 7 days should take two books to tell, but they were dense days, not just with events, but with inhabitants, many, different, like these wildflowers in the trench where all began. Here, one stray footstep snaps so many different plants, releasing different saps and smells, and stirring up the insects hidden underneath. The surge is just beginning now. The armies of crawling life which swarm forth, as if born from the broken stems. You do not see their full numbers yet, but I hope I have at least shown you enough to realize that these first scouts you do see, like the others that will follow, were not born from the stems. These swarms, these changes, were all waiting in their sleepy tunnels, all with causes that you can now understand. You do not have to believe. You only have to believe that we believe, that I, that Dominic, that Carlyle, who stumbled on so much, believe in Bridger, acted on that belief, and that we believe, too, in the second thing that Providence placed in Carlyle's path on this, the morning of the 27th, in that same fitting spot where, 4 days prior, he first saw divinity reveal itself. Perhaps you will not be satisfied. This last change I'm about to show you is too subtle. You want politics, apocalypse. I will show you that, too, as an addendum. The scissors that can still beat paper. Perhaps even our deceptive one-piece house of cards. But if, this morning, Carlyle comes to Bridger's Trench once more, despite Occam's command, it is because Occam, The cars, the humanists, the theft, the earth are on a different scale. Not on the scale of miracles. Bridger is as much more important to Carlyle, as much more real, as your clothes, your friends, your problems. The floor beneath your feet are more real and more important to you than we and our problems of an age now past. This is the true last chapter of this first half of my history, the last chapter for Carlyle, for me. Here we glimpse the full and concrete shape of the intervention, still shadowed, but a shape in darkness instead of just darkness, a form with edges, definition. So we may say with certainty, I saw something. The intervention of our maker. The rest is merely what that maker made.
Bring him out! Bring out Mycroft Canner. We know you're hiding them, you filthy shit-sack servicers.
Sticks and stones were not to be found in the clean glass tiers of Cielo de Pajaros, but trash flew just as hard, raining down on the heads of the servicers who cowered amid the grass and petals of Bridger's flower trench. Their attackers were on the bridge above, five lamentably sober humanists who had pried open a garbage robot bearing yesterday's deposit sealed in sterile packets like plump balloons ready to burst on impact.
Bring the monster out here, or there's a lot worse where this came from.
I must say this first, reader. I am no beggar king. My fellow servicers have never considered me their leader. If some gather around me in the dorms, it is because I am resourceful, and there are certain problems one does not take to the cousins who are our babysitters. Criminals tend to have unfinished business, which often threatens the Boches left behind. Many of these servicers would have moved mountains in the past to save friends and family, but cannot anymore. I still can, begging favors from Madame or Mason when I dare and when the need is great. So when my need is great, the others are eager to give back. A shout rallied the servicers below.
Protect the food!
Servicers have few things they can call precious, but a good meal, justly earned, is chief among them. So this picnic laid out on checkered blankets on the grass was as worth fighting for as all the gold in Troy. They formed their makeshift wall, sheltering plates and platters with scraps from the dump, empty boxes, their uniforms, themselves, happy to accept a splatter if it would save a sandwich. The attackers spat.
You're going to lose a lot more than your lunch if you don't send Canner out. One call's all it'll take to have my whole crew down here. You'll see what damage a rugby team can do.
A leader stepped forth among the servicers, bristling with rage, but nameless here, thanks to Casale's censorship.
Look, we don't know anything about Mycroft Canner.
Don't give us that shit.
The cops may be trying to cover it up, but the pictures are all over. Canner's hiding out as a servicer.
What was once chilly struck the servicer's shoulder, spattering rancid juice across her cheeks.
Look, there are a couple hundred thousand servicers worldwide. What makes you think we'd even know if it was true?
The rot rain did not stop.
We're not buying that. Canner had a whole pack of servicers with them when they came back to finish off that Mardi survivor. You're all in it together.
Carlyle Foster rushed up behind the attackers now, his wrap and long scarf fluttering like silks around a fleeing nymph. Occam may have banned him from the house, but the command of the gravest officer on earth is nothing to Carlyle, weighed against theology. His talk with Briar Casala the afternoon before had done much to revive his spirits, though he would have risen full of strength that day, regardless, for March the 27th was sacred to Asclepius, Dionysus, Rama, the Bodhisattva Tara, the Egyptian powers Neteret Renenutet and Neter Nepri, and to St. Rupert of Salzburg. A day on which men honored the Creator in many ways in ages past, and still do today. The good cousin charged in, ready to place a restraining hand on the nearest humanist, but their last claim froze him. There's a Mardi survivor? The attackers turned, their anger ready to give way to scorn. Where have you been, cousin Mars? It happened yesterday. The video's all over. Tully Marty's the kid's name. Was addressing a crowd when in charges Mycroft Canner with a pack of servicers.